Now, if you'll go to Matthew, which is the first book in the New Testament, and then start turning back to the left, get into the Old Testament, Malachi, and then Zechariah there, okay? And you'll find Zechariah chapter 4, and we're going to be there tonight. Wednesday night's building our character. Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, Family Bible Hour, building our faith. 11 o'clock, preaching service, building our relationship with God. 6:30 preaching service Sunday night, building our family. And then this on Wednesday nights, building our character. But Diane's going to come sing for us tonight. We'll enjoy that. And then when she's through, we'll jump into our study for a few moments. All right. Thank you, Diana. That phrase that says, "He really cares when your head is bowed low." I like that. Your head, you ever had your head bowed low? Yep. And if you haven't, you hadn't just lived long enough. But you will. And boy, when that time comes, you got to remember, you got to trust, you got to know He cares. Amen? No doubt about it. It's wonderful. That's a great song. Good singing tonight. Now, Zechariah chapter 4, I want to speak to you on this series of building our character. I want to talk tonight for a few moments on the subject of the importance of small things. The importance of small things. Look with me, if you will. Well, let's just pray, and then we'll get into it, because we're going to give you, we'll talk just a moment, and I'll give you the setting, and we'll look at the verses together. Dear Father, thank You that You love us. Thank You that You're our friend. You are in charge and control of this vast universe, the great creator, the organizer, the sustainer of all that there is in this universe. And yet You have time to know us personally, to listen to us, to care about our burdens, our needs. And Lord, even these requests that were mentioned tonight from the hearts of these dear people, Lord, folks of their friends of theirs, relatives who are sick, some are facing surgery. Lord, some are need to be saved, need some are unsaved and need salvation. And Lord, those are important matters. And I thank You that You care about every one of them. I thank You that You care about us. Now, Lord, help us to care that we live for You and to do our best to bring honor and glory to You and Your cause as long as you give us life and breath and health. Help us with our character. So vitally important in these days. Be with us tonight. Help me, I pray, in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're going to study lessons on building our character on these Wednesday nights. Let me just say, by way of introduction, I won't do this every Wednesday night. Nothing is more important to Christian growth than solid character. Nothing. Now, you say, what about the power of God? Well, I'll be honest with you, folks. The power of God is available to anybody and everybody, but if somebody doesn't have the character to access it, it's not going to do them any good. We're talking about building our faith on Sunday morning. If you're in the 10 o'clock Sunday school class somewhere in Family Bible Hour, we're in 2 Peter chapter 1, adding to your faith. And Christian growth is a matter of commitment. Anybody can grow in grace. Any Christian can grow, but it's a matter of commitment. And that's what we don't like a lot of in this day and age. We don't like commitment. That's what a lot of people want in a church that has no pressure for it to be committed. But if you're going to grow in grace, it's going to take commitment. Okay? And I can't think of anything more important to Christian growth than just solid character. Unsaved people can possess character. Saved people can be absent character. Because, see, salvation, good character is not necessary for salvation. But good character is necessary for spiritual growth. You have to have good character if you're going to grow as a child of God. That has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is a free gift. You don't work for salvation. You don't merit salvation. You don't earn salvation. Salvation is a free gift. If you work for it or earn it, it no longer is a gift. Romans 11 verse 6 makes it very clear that salvation is either all of grace or it's all of works. It cannot be a mixture of both. Okay? So salvation is free. It's a gift. You receive it. But after you get saved, by receiving the free gift of salvation, the presence of solid character in our lives will help us in this matter of Christian, of spiritual growth. If a person does not have character when they get saved, they can develop it and they'll be better suited for spiritual growth. If a person does have character when they get saved, they will be ahead of the curve in growing spiritually. You take a person who's got character, and I've seen this in the years of the ministry. You take somebody who gets saved, and they have character. They were unsaved, they were without Christ, but they had character. And buddy, once they get saved, they hit the ground running for God. That growth, they're ahead of the curve a little bit. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, so it's vitally important. There is no way, and of course, people that are saved, people that are children of God, ought to have character. I mean, above anybody else. Christians ought to have character. Now, there's no way we can exhaust this subject in just a few weeks. And it just depends on how the Lord leads. I may stay on it for a few weeks after the spring program is over. But we can learn some lessons that will help us develop character in these weeks. What is character? Somebody said character is what you do in the dark. So that's what character is. Somebody else said reputation is what man thinks we are. Character is what God knows we are. A big difference in that, isn't there? Chesterfield said this, you must look into people as well as at them. And that's the reason man can only go on reputation. Because only God can look into us. Now, we might get a glimpse of what somebody's like through the windows to their soul, which is their eyes, the countenance on their face. And buddy, I'm going to tell you, around our kids at school, that's what I am always watching for is countenance. Countenance. What is the countenance? Just because somebody's going through the motions of obedience outwardly doesn't mean it's going on, everything's okay in here. And boy, countenance says so much. I said something today to my wife about a particular young person. I said, you know, this shocks me a little bit, but I notice sometimes the countenance is strange. You don't jump to conclusions, but that's the best we can do. We can only look into them through the window to their soul, which is their eyes. But God can look all the way in us, can't He? So He knows what we are. Greeley said this. I thought this was outstanding. Fame is vapor. Popularity, an accident, riches take wings. Only one thing endures, and that is character. Character. So we're talking about building something here that is absolutely important to our spiritual Christian growth and to the well-being of our of the cause of Christ. Look with me, please, at verse number 8. Let's look at this passage and just a momentary, just a few thoughts tonight about the issue of character. Then we're going to have a little fun. After chapter number 4, verse 8. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. Zechariah speaking now, God speaking through him. For who hath despised the day of small things? See that question there? Who hath despised the day of small things? Now, let me give you the setting for this text. Zechariah, the book of Zechariah was an Old Testament prophet to the remnant of Jews who had returned. The 70-year captivity is over in Babylon. Done. And a remnant of those Jews leave Babylon and go back to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem's been destroyed. They go back to Jerusalem with a decree from King Cyrus to begin rebuilding the temple and the city of Jerusalem. This is before Nehemiah goes back to do the walls. Are you with me? Okay? You got two building projects. You've got the building of the temple and the city, and then you've got the rebuilding of the walls around the city. That came later under Nehemiah. The two men who led the remnant of Jews back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple were Zerubbabel and Ezra. And so when you read the book of Zechariah, it fits in the time frame of the book of Ezra. Okay, so if you like to read the Bible that way, chronologically, you can do that. You get to Ezra, you can jump over to Zechariah and Haggai. Those two men preached during Ezra's time in Jerusalem, rebuilding the temple. Now, they have the foundation laid for the temple. Okay, they've got the foundation laid. And so here, Zechariah says in verse number 9, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, the temple, started to rebuild it. His hands shall also finish it. Zechariah prophesies, Zerubbabel will finish it. And then he asked the question in verse number 10, for who hath despised the day of small things? He said, folks, I know it's a small beginning. This is just a small, small step in the process of rebuilding the temple. Just getting the foundations laid. And Zechariah was encouraging the people here not to think lightly. The word despise in the Bible, a little bit different than how you and I use despise. We use the word despise similar to the word hate. You hate something, you despise something. The word despise in the Bible means to think little of, to kind of dismiss as unimportant. Kind of blow it off. That's what the word despise here. Means in the Bible. Who hath despised the day of small things? Zechariah says, hey, I know it's a small step. In the big picture, the whole city is still destroyed. In the big picture, there's no walls around the city. In the big picture, this is just a very, very small step in a huge process. But don't think lightly of it. Don't dismiss it as unimportant. Don't despise the day of small things. Yes, they had a long way to go. And what was coming would be elaborate. What was coming would be ornate. What was coming would be beautiful, the temple. But to think lightly or despise the beginning, even though it was very small, would be to do the temple of the Lord a disservice. Now, that's the framework, that's the foundation, the setting of this passage, if you will. Don't think lightly of this small step. Yes, it's a small step, but it's a step. So don't think lightly of the small step of having this foundation laid. Now, one element of good character is learning the importance of the small things in life. To go through life thinking that small things are unimportant can cost you huge down the road. Now, I got back to the motel. I was at the service on Monday night in Louisville. I heard Brother Fugit preach, heard Brother Coral preach, enjoyed some fellowship with the brothers. And I got back to the motel there in time to see about Tim Young. I went to Tim Young's room. He said, hey, let's watch the end of the NCAA championship game was on Monday night. So I got back in time to see about the last 8 or 10 minutes of the Memphis-Kansas ball game. I don't know if any of you watched it or not. Monday night. Playing for the championship. With 1 minute, 31 seconds left, Memphis had a 9-point lead. I'm talking to Luke on the phone. I said, this thing's done. He said, yeah, they're going to win. I said, it's over. They've got it won. 1 minute, 31 seconds, 9-point lead. And if you know, if you watched the game or if you read, you heard the next day, Kansas won it. Poor Memphis, they just fell apart. And the biggest contributor to that loss was missed free throws. They couldn't make free throws. Couldn't make them. Now, the funny thing about it is, I read this somewhere, all season long, they were one of the worst free throw shooting teams in all of college basketball. I think at one point they were 3 from the bottom. Brother Bragg says, okay, that's it. So he said, and he meant. I think that's where they were, 3 from the bottom of 100 and how many teams? 140 teams? They were 3 from the bottom. And their coach kept dismissing it. People would ask him, what do you think about the free throws? They were ranked number 1 in the country for a long time. What do you think about those free throws? Man, horrible. Oh, you know. And he'd make light of it. He'd say, hey, you know, we made more than the other team. Or, you know, we took more free throws than we missed more free throws than they attempted. Ha, ha, ha. He made light of it. I don't know if you ever played basketball. A free throw is exactly that. A free throw. There's nobody in your face. There's nobody jumping at you. You know, they're a few feet away. You're 15 feet from the basket. You're not moving. The clock is not running. You're standing there. And it's just a simple matter of shooting the ball in the hoop 15 feet. Now, simple, yeah. You know, 60,000 people watching and a television audience and ESPN and all that stuff, whatever it was. You know, I don't know. But it ought to be 2 points automatically every time you step to the free throw line. They kept missing the free throws, clanking them, clanking them, clanking them. Kansas get the rebound, run down and score. Kansas get the rebound, run down and score. And that old boy shot a 3-point shot with 2 seconds on the clock and tied it up 62. Tied it up. Kansas had the momentum, went into overtime, and won the national championship. Missed free throws. They had a 9-point lead. They lost the lead. They lost the game. They lost the national championship. Because they couldn't make a free throw. One of the most fundamental things in basketball. A free throw. Can despising small things cost you? Well, ask the coach. Ask those seniors who never played another college basketball game in their life. They had it. They had it in their hands. They had the trophy. But because evidently, a little mentality developed throughout the season that, you know, we can make layups and we can shoot 3-pointers and, you know, okay, ha-ha, we can't make free throws, but who cares? That's such a small thing. Small things can cost you. I read the Bible, I see people paying attention to small things. I see David going to take food, bread and cheese to his brothers who are in the battle against Goliath and the Philistine army. And before David, a 17-year-old boy, and you know a 17-year-old boy going to see his older brothers in the war? You know he's got to be excited about that. You know he's been watching sheep. Do you understand that going down to the battlefront where there's a 9-foot giant and there's a war going on, do you understand that's a little bit more exciting than watching sheep? Huh? But it's very interesting that the Bible makes it very clear and takes the pains to tell us that before David went to take the bread and cheese to his brothers, he left the sheep with a keeper. Now, is that an accident? There's no accidents in this book. There's nothing here about coincidence, folks. Like I said the other night, there's no filler in the Word of God. He left the sheep with a keeper. Small thing? Very small thing. But small things are big things. I think about Jesus feeding 15 to 20,000 people with 5 pieces of bread and 2 pieces of fish. How much food would it take to feed 15 to 20,000 people? How much food did He create? And we believe with all of our hearts that's a literal miracle as recorded in the Word of God. The one who made the fish and the one who made the bread can break it up and make it feed 15, 20,000 people if it wants to. Now think about how much food was consumed by 15 to 20,000 people. And yet when it was all done and everybody had eaten everything they wanted, what did Jesus say? Okay, boys, let's go. That's it. He said, no. Get some baskets and take up the leftovers. And they picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. Now you think, 12? What's 12 baskets compared to what it took to feed 15, 20,000? Are you with me tonight? I mean, there's not much food. You ever wonder what they did with those 12 baskets? Probably gave it to that little boy. What do you think he told his mama when he got home? Where'd you get that food? Mama, do you think she believed his story? That poor kid was sunk. Don't you lie to me. Where'd you steal that? He didn't waste it. He took up a little thing. Well, you know, in light of what it takes to feed 15 to 20,000 people, 12 baskets is not a whole lot of food. It's a small little, who cares about that little bit? Jesus did. How about when he gets up from the grave, bodily resurrection, to walk out of that tomb? Is there anything more wonderful? Is there anything more powerful? Is there anything more just spine-tingling in the Christian faith than a lifeless dead body of our Savior just coming to life and Him walking out of that tomb alive? Huh? But before He leaves, He folds that napkin that covered His face. Now, you know what we would have done, don't you? Right? That's what we would have done. And I get tickled when I get to be with my wife in a motel somewhere traveling or something. Are your wives like this fellow? They got to make the motel bed. Honey, don't make the bed. This is your moment. Leave it unmade. They got somebody coming that they paid. You make it, and they're going to come in here and unmake it. Oh, no, we got to make it. It's probably called character, I guess. Huh? What does Jesus do? He folds that napkin. He takes the time to fold. I mean, he's come to life. He's going to walk out the grave entrance triumphant. But before he does, he takes time to fold the grave clothes and the napkin. Small thing, little thing, insignificant, maybe, but you can't take those lightly. You see, great care should be taken to give attention to small things. It's called character. It's called character. I'm amazed at some of the character of people in this church. Tremendous character. I'm amazed when I watch a man who's doing a project upstairs for us and fitting two pieces of wood together, and he shaves a blade's width. Now, I didn't say a quarter inch or a eighth of an inch. A blade's width. He goes to great care to saw off a blade's width of wood so that the two pieces sit flush together. It's just upstairs. Nobody's much up here. But to a person with character, something that small is important. That's why they have character. The importance of small things. Small things. I want to say three things about small things, and it will not be long. I promise you, it will not be long because I've got a couple things I want to do. Number one, small things are usually not visible. Small things are usually not visible. Zechariah called the foundation of the temple a small thing. Now you understand, man, a foundation, a small thing. Get the big picture, folks. We're talking a temple building. We're talking other buildings in the city. We're talking walls are going up. So in the big picture, the foundation is just a very small thing. Are you with me? Very small. The foundation is the one part of the building that is not visible to the naked eye. It's not visible. You know, anyone who knows anything about building knows the foundation is vitally important. There are many other parts of the building that are far more visible. People do not ooh and ah over foundations. We were in Washington, D.C. last week, and we saw the wonderful buildings out there, and we went somewhere where I had never been. We went to Embassy Row, and we found the Madagascar Embassy. We went there and had our picture taken in front of it and everything. And we weren't really looking exactly just for that. We just walked down the road where it was, and it was one of the ones we saw. We had a good time. These buildings were absolutely beautiful. The architecture. We went to the Library of Congress at the recommendation of Jerry Weller's tour, aide who took us on the tour of the Capitol. He said, if you go anywhere, he said, go to the Library of Congress. It's the most architecture, the most beautiful building in Washington, D.C. I got in there. But you don't walk around Washington, D.C. going, look at these foundations. You don't do that. That's the part that's not visible. But hear me tonight, the absence of visibility does not make the foundation any less important. It may not be visible to the naked eye, but it is the most important part of the building. And I'm saying tonight, the small things that we pay attention to in our daily life may not be visible. They may not be recognizable to others, but they are foundational to our character. I'll say that again, the small things that we pay attention to in our daily life, they may not be visible, they may not be recognizable to anybody else, but they are foundational to our character. Don't despise the small things in life. Have you ever gaped at a mighty oak? Have you? Have you ever just seen one of those oaks that just... I have. Look at that tree. Look at that thing. Nobody ever gets out of a car, walks through a woods, and goes, look at that acorn. Huh? But that's where that tree came from. Small things are usually not visible, but that doesn't make them any less important. Small things are usually not visible. Number two, great things are built on small things. Great things are built on small things. The overall dimensions of the foundation of a building are smaller than the other parts. Walk across the parking lot, folks. Those walls are tall. I forget, what is that? I think at the peak in the gymnasium, I think 32, 34 feet, maybe 35. Tall, square footage, cubic volume. I mean, there's a lot of space there. The foundation, the footings. And do you know what footings are? Some do because their husbands are. Footings they go around the perimeter of the building, and they dig with a backhoe and they dig deep, and then they come and they put rebar, iron bar in there, and then they pour footings. And you know, depending on the weight of the facility, depends on how big the footings are. But in comparison to the rest of the building, the footings are not that big. But they're designed to carry the weight. Are you listening tonight? They're not that big, but they are designed to carry the weight. Small things are just that. They're small. However, they are the part of our life on which the bigger things rest. If you don't get the footings right, if you don't take care of the small things, if you don't pay attention to the small things in your life, you're going to build a building that doesn't have a secure foundation. Great things are built on small things. You know, take a student, and they get an A+ on their report card in the subject of math. They say, how did you get an A+ in that advanced math class? How did you get an A+ in Algebra 2? How did you do that? How did you get that A+? How did they arrive at that A? Oh man, you should have seen their test grades. And you should have seen, you know, their quiz grades were excellent. Excellent. And they did their homework. And they did a top-notch job on the special projects in the class. And, you know, and that's what they'll mention. All the test grades and the quizzes and the outside assignments and the homework. You know what never gets mentioned? But I'll guarantee you don't make an A+ without it. Taking good notes. Just taking good notes in class for history, for English, taking good notes. Yeah, I'll sit through class. Don't take any notes. Drizzle around, draw pictures, and get a C on the report card. And it's not the tests. It's not the quizzes. It's the foundation. It's the small things. It's the note-taking. I cannot give everybody a real-life example from where you are in your vocation or in your calling or your experiences of life. But I'll guarantee you there are small things that are a part of everybody's life in this room. Whatever your work is, whatever your vocation is, whatever your calling is, whatever your day-to-day life is, there are parts of it that are seemingly insignificant. But those things are incredibly important. And great things are built on small things. You remember, I've said this before, and I even asked Ben about this. Ben was talking about his basketball team. They won a game. A game. But when you haven't won any, one's big. So they won a game. They said, Dad, they just goof off in practice. I said, Ben, I said, do they know who Michael Jordan is? He said, they all know Michael Jordan, Dad. All of them. I said, tell them. Tell those boys that the consensus among all the NBA players was nobody practiced with more energy and more vigor than Michael Jordan did. Scottie Pippen said, the guy's crazy in practice. It doesn't matter if it's the NBA championship game 7 or if it's one-on-one against one of the guys who's a reserve on the team. The guy wanted to win and he busted his gut at practice. Then you got Allen Iverson. Who cares about practice, man? Just practice. Who cares about practice? Well, just practice. Who gives a rip about practice? How many rings you got, Allen? How many championships you won? Try 0, and he's not going to win one. Great things are built on small things. We got to get this. We want to do these great things, have these great experiences in life, you know, but we blow through our elementary years, we blow through our teen years, we blow through our college age years without any thought whatsoever and any attention whatsoever to the little, small, detailed matters of our life that are sometimes monotonous, sometimes seemingly insignificant, and then we don't do anything, we don't accomplish anything and wonder why. Because you can't ignore the small things and be a success. So small things are usually not visible. Number 2, great things are built on small things. Number 3, lack of attention to small things will come back to haunt you. Lack of attention to small things will come back to haunt you. You know, you can joke during the season about missed free throws when you're playing a lesser caliber team and the margin of victory is 36 points. You can joke about missing free throws then. Man, we won by 36. Come on. So we missed about 10 free throws. Come on. You can joke about missed free throws when you're celebrating your conference championship after winning it easily with no effort whatsoever because you're head and shoulders above everybody else in your conference. You can joke about missed free throws when you missed more free throws than the other team even attempted. Man, we missed 15 free throws and they didn't even take but 12. Ha, ha, ha. But when the national championship is on the line and the bright lights of television are glaring and you're playing against an opponent that is every bit as good as you are, missed free throws can cost you the trophy. And they did. I'm telling you, friend, you could ignore the small things in life. Getting up on time. Keeping your shoes looking decent. Making sure you keep yourself clean. Making sure you shave off the little bit of the wood so that it sits flush against the other. You can ignore the small things in life, but I'm going to tell you, I'll promise you, they're going to come back to haunt you someday. Character doesn't underestimate the importance of small things. parents, with our kids, we got to help our children. You can't let them ignore the small things. The bed made, the dirty socks in the right place. The kids are going to be kids. Really? I'm telling you, learn the importance of small things in your life and do well at them. That is good character. Good character. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Thank you for listening. Dear Father, thank you for your word, for the privilege to talk for a few minutes tonight. And help us to have good character. Help us, Lord, not to underestimate the importance of small things. What may seemingly be insignificant could be a footing on which something great will be built someday. Help us, dear Father, to have good character, character that pleases you, character like Jesus had. I pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're not saved, I said tonight at the first of the message, the lesson, excuse me, you don't have to have character to be saved. Salvation is a free gift. You must receive it. You must come to Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, I beg you, please. When the music begins in just a minute, just make your way to the front. Heads will be bowed. Eyes will be closed. It won't be embarrassing. Tell Brother Caleb when you get here, I need to be saved. If you are saved, and the Lord spoke to your heart tonight about character, I want to visit the altar for a moment. The importance of small things. Let's stand together, please. Ladies, play us a song.